From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. A man whose life's work has offered a window into the lives of the Colusa Indians is being recognized for those efforts. Archaeologist Bill Marquardt receives a Lifetime Achievement Award for his work not only in uncovering the secrets hidden in Southwest Florida's shell mounds, but also for his work in telling that story for future generations. He'll join us to talk about some of his discoveries and what they mean for people living here today. Plus, the holiday break is just a week or so away, meaning the kids will be looking to parents to entertain them. Fear not, there are some camps and other activities on offer in the area. We'll find out about those. Plus, we'll talk with a local educator about why children need a little break and what parents can do to keep kids engaged during their time off. First, the news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. As the holiday break approaches for schools in Southwest Florida, parents face the opportunity and challenge of deciding how to structure their child's time during the break. It's particularly difficult for families in which both parents work with one or more children out of school for up to 2 weeks. Joining us to look at some of the options parents have are Pam Edlund with the Collier County Boys and Girls Club. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We also have the Director of Education from the Naples Zoo, Stacey Grayson, joining us by the phone. Hello, Stacey.
Hi.
And in studio, we have local educator Elizabeth Garcia with Discovery Day Academy, who can offer some ideas for parents looking to keep kids engaged during their time off. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We are talking about the holiday break. When kids are out of school, do you have a plan for entertaining your kids? Let us know what you do at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Message us at Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media or on Twitter at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Elizabeth Garcia, the Christmas break serves more than one purpose, giving people a chance to spend time with their family, but it also comes at a time when you say kids kind of need a little break. How important is it for them to get away from school for that time?
I think it's very important to kind of recharge and maybe shift directions. And rather than being on cognitively for such an extended period of time, it's very important to have certainly a break. However, I think it's also very important to remain engaged, kind of similar to the summer brain drain. You certainly don't want school-age children having that brain drain over the holidays either, because very pertinent school year progress can be lost. So I think it's very important to have a balanced break and a break that also continues to engage students.
And keeps them awake and not staring at a screen,
absolutely,
be it computer or TV. Stacey Grayson with the Naples Zoo, you offer some day-long camps there for kids to spend a lot of time learning at the zoo. Can you tell me a little bit about those?
Certainly. So as was mentioned, I do think it's important for kids to have a little break, but to also play. And if they can come to the zoo, they will spend their days outside engaging with the natural world, which is really important for kids today, and making some connections with some animals that really need us to continue to care for them. So Naples Zoo offers day camps for each day after Christmas, the 26th through the 30th, and you can sign up for one day or all five. The week is themed as a passport to conservation, and each day has special activities related to different things, all connected back to the animals that we care for and conservation action that even kids of elementary age can begin to take.
Well, kids definitely love animals. So I imagine, are you filled? Are you filling up?
Wednesday is sold out. The day that's titled Journey to Africa is sold out. We've got a few spots left on Monday and Tuesday, and then it looks like the end of the week there's still a little space left. So, you want to go ahead and get your spots quickly. We have member rates and non-member rates. So if you're a zoo member, you get a discount. And you also get a discount if you register for more than one day or if you register more than one camper.
Okay.
And the age ranges from 5 to 12, and we will break up those age groups once they're here. so that they're learning appropriately for their age level.
Well, it's pretty convenient to be able to do a full-on drop-off for parents that have to get to work or have a ton of errands to run. Pam Edlin with the Boys and Girls Club of Collier County. Throughout the year, your organization offers after-school programs for kids whose parents are working, but usually working parents do not get those 2 weeks off during the holiday season. So what happens to your center at this time of year?
Our center is actually open from 7:30 in the morning till 6 on the 22nd, 27th, 28th, and 29th. So those children that would like to come then are allowed to be dropped off anytime between those hours. And it's set up for ages 6 through 18. So we actually have like an elementary, middle school, and an actual teen program to cover all those grades. So during that time, it's physical activity. It could be library. It could be computer. So they're getting to dabble in some of those things like Elizabeth talked about are still important, but yet having a fun, safe environment, positive place to be so they can do that.
Well, it's just kind of a change in environment. Also, is just, you know, kind of challenging but fun and not as work, you know?
Right, correct. Yeah.
We are talking about the holiday break. When your kids are out of school, what do you have planned for entertaining your kids during this holiday break? Let us know at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Message us at Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media or on Twitter at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. Stacey Grayson at the Naples Zoo. I'm going to ask you another question. How impactful is it for the kids to be there at the zoo being hands-on in the thick of it? Do they get to see some things that regularly going to the zoo they don't get to see or those kinds of activities?
Yes, of course, absolutely. They really get to learn about some of the animal stories that we have here and see them up close. Each day has animal encounter and, watching on Discovery Channel is great, but there's nothing that can replace seeing these animals up close and firsthand, and they get so excited, and you can teach them about the animals and get them, you know, engaged in taking action to help protect them without them even realizing it. I like to call it self-learning. They're just having so much fun, and they're making new friends and, you know, really getting excited about being outside, and then they go home and share that with their families, and that's exactly what we want to happen.
As the educator there at the zoo, as the main educator there, what do you feel like when you're sharing something with these kids and how are their reactions?
I've taught, you know, a lot of different kinds of things. And when you're teaching at a zoo, there's nothing better than that. There's no hands-on tool that you can use that's going to grab a child's attention more than a live animal. And when you can use those animals for them to learn their science and their literacy and just getting them excited, building that connection with nature that tends to get lost as we become an ever-increasingly technology environment. And it's so much fun to see that excitement, and they get excited about the people that they're meeting, and they love to talk to the keepers and hear about the relationships that our zookeepers have with their animals. And it really helps the kids to remember, you know, all those special things that we want them to know about our animals.
Elizabeth Garcia with Discovery Day Academy. What do you think about that hands-on feeling?
So coming from a project-based learning background, we at Discovery very much implement activities that promote and reinforce responsibility, social entrepreneurship. I think understanding the conservation of the animals at the zoo is such a huge component to helping students at a young age see how they can make a positive difference in the world. And I think what better time to tie that in than the holiday season? That's what it's really all about, is helping and giving back to others. So I think that's such an incredible way to inspire them to be change makers within our community.
I think that is also very important. Pam Edlin with the Boys and Girls Club. I was surprised to learn that you're talking about coding over there, teaching kids coding with the computers. How is that?
That is going really good. Last week actually was called the Hour of Code. It was Computer Science Week from the 5th through the 11th. And so the children had opportunities to actually get on the computer and see what coding is about. In other words, when I sit here and I normally do another activity on the computer, how did that actually come to be. So they were able to do lines of coding themselves that actually put them in a sense of doing a program themselves. So they spent a week of that. All age levels were able to go into that program and do at least one line of coding themselves. So we hope to look forward to continuing that, maybe more in a atmosphere where now we'll let them go on their own and they can actually sit down and we can see what they can do now from what they learned from the week before. So that will be one piece of our day's activities that will be going on besides other things.
And that's going to be going on during the holiday break,
yes. You
know, school time?
Yes.
So that's a nice opportunity.
And a great free resource, whether you're at home or in a camp-based program, is code.org. It's actually a free resource. It's a nonprofit organization that's really tailored for children as young as pre-K age all the way through a much older age. But it is a free and open-ended resource that can be utilized rather than necessarily watching an iPad. They can actually get on the iPad and actively engage, but that's a great free resource.
And learn something. I can't believe kids that are 6 years old are doing coding.
Exactly. And that was the program we were doing, code.org, was the site that we actually went through to help with this. And like I said, I think some of it had been going on at the school that week. I know last year they made a big push for it too. So we're excited to see that we picked it up again this year and we're able to go with it.
I think maybe just something I'd like to throw out kind of in that vein of innovation. You know, we all have leftover boxes and gift wrap and all of this stuff from Christmas that we typically have to throw out or from the holidays. And I'm a big advocate of the makers movement. So why not take all of those recyclable materials and all of that paper that you have and all of these things and really give it to your children to freely explore and innovate with and design with. And really, I think that ties all into that vein of coding and a more innovative kind of outlook. But that's another great free hands-on resource and is, of course, play-based, like was spoken about earlier.
I think that's great. Let them use their imagination because I think sometimes they don't get that opportunity all the time, and that's a great way to do that.
So instead of being the police officer parent that's taking all the trash and throwing it in a giant trash bag, let your kids play in it and try to make something out of it.
Absolutely.
But direct that.
But directed.
Direct that play.
Absolutely.
I wanted to talk about routine. Ms. Garcia, we were talking about when you're out of school, you don't get up early like you usually do. You sleep in late. How does the change in routine impact kids?
I think it is very, very important as much as possible. Of course, we all travel and we stay up a little later and visit family and so forth. But as much as possible, I'm a huge proponent of keeping your children on a routine. Children thrive within a routine, and it becomes more difficult as they come back to school to adjust. That's really where they have, I would say, the most difficulty, rather within the break itself. It's kind of just reacclimating coming back to school. So just as much as possible as a parent, try to keep them on as much of a routine as you can without letting it be a complete free-for-all or, you know, late nights, those types of things. Because that can be very challenging to reacclimate to school when returning.
I have to say I'm guilty of that. I've done that with my daughter, let her stay up late and sleep late, but only for a couple days and then get back on schedule. So for kids that may be already struggling at school or having a hard time, is this time off an opportunity for parents to jump in and try to help? And if it is, what kind of tips would you give to parents that aren't trained educators?
I would say let your gift giving really surround what are known as the four C's, and that's critical thinking, communication, collaboration, and creativity. There's so many things out there on the market that are around this STEAM acronym, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Don't be afraid to put a novel or a book in as a stocking stuffer, you know, and pull that out. And maybe you have a family rest and read together, or if you have a child who isn't a fluent reader, you can certainly read aloud to that child, make it a very engaging family activity rather than plopping in front of the TV. Why not explore a book together? Or if you have an independent reader, everyone kind of cuddles up and reads a book together. And we as parents are reading role models to our children. So I would say I would not be a proponent of heavily drilling academics, but rather make it a very social, family-oriented activity surrounding literacy or more innovative gift-giving.
Making it fun but yes. then also educational. And then you were Pam, you were talking about at the Boys and Girls Club, you're going to have some time to do some more art things, and that's another opportunity for learning as well.
Absolutely. We the members just completed glazing their holiday ornaments that they had made. So moving forward into our time that we're off, they're going to be doing what we call drawing prompts, which means that they'll be given a prompt, maybe like, what do you plan with you to do with your family over the holidays, whatever that may be. And then they will draw to that prompt that they were given. And along the way, you know, we'll also, I think, going off what Elizabeth said again, giving them those items that are donated to us that other people might be called trash that is a treasure, and let those members use their imagination to, you know, create whatever they want to with that as a take home. So that'll be one of the things that will be ongoing in our arts department.
And your program is for kids age 6 to 18.
That is correct.
Correct. Are there any financial constraints or anything that people need to know going in? Are there income levels that you have to meet in order to be able to have your kids be there?
Okay. So for these drop-off days that I mentioned, they'll be now at the Naples Nichols campus. It'll be a $10 a day fee, and they have to pay a one-time $5 registration fee. Okay. And then at the Balch campus, which is in Immokalee, that will be just a $5 registration fee, and there will not be a specific daily fee involved in that, just $5. We do ask that everybody takes this registration or gets it completed by December 20th. That way that helps us to plan for staffing requirements and different activities that we'd want to do with the children. So we ask you to go to that campus site specifically to register your child.
So go to the campus and do the registration by the 20th.
Exactly.
And with that kind of a price, how many kids do you have? Because that's pretty reasonable.
That is very reasonable. On no school days right now at the Naples Nichols campus, we probably average about 250 to 300 children. And at our Immokalee campus, which is the Balch campus that just recently opened in October, we will probably be averaging about 250 members there also.
So that's really helpful for working parents.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Like I said, and there isn't a time constraint. Like you have to be there, you know, when we open, it's a drop off whenever it's convenient and you need to use the service. Yes.
And so they need to sign up by physically going in.
Yes.
There's not an online
thing? No, for the drop off day, we cannot do it online.
Okay. All right. And Stacey Grayson at the Naples Zoo, I wanted to ask you a question. You're kind of getting full there, but I think there are other things going on at the zoo for people who are just going to go and visit. You have some new exhibits?
We do. We actually have a brand new clouded leopard exhibit, and they will be open half the days of the week. So we've got two young clouded leopards, a male and a female, and they will be out half the week, like I said, and then we have our adult leopard that will be sharing that exhibit. They'll be taking turns out there. So you definitely want to come out and see that. The whole habitat has been completely renovated. It looks beautiful, and the clouded leopards who just moved in have already been, you know, exploring and out where you can see them really well. And if you've never seen a clouded leopard, they are absolutely stunning. And since these are both under a year old, they're really pretty fun to watch as well.
Okay,
Full
disclosure, I was there this weekend. They are so cute. And they kind of meow like little cats.
They are so cute. Yeah.
they're really kind of small.
Really,
I was surprised. So
we also have two young tigers that are fairly new for us. And so if you haven't seen them yet, you need to come out and take a look at those guys.
I didn't see them this weekend. They were hiding, I think. Maybe it was too cold for them. When it gets chilly, they like to snuggle up to those heat lamps.
It depends.
Is there a registration deadline for your camp programs?
You can register up until the day before, but unless it sells out. So we're just going to leave registration open until each class closes, and then we'll shut it down.
And that they do online?
Do. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything you need to know is online, and the prices and everything. The discount comes automatically once you register for more than one day. Everything is right there.
Okay, and Elizabeth Garcia, I wanted to ask you a question about kids. When they come back, you see them when they leave and go on their vacation, and then when they come back. Can you tell a difference between the kids that have been engaged and have been doing extra activities or maybe even traveling. Can you tell them from the kids who have kind of just not done much?
I can, in the sense that when they're in their regular routine and, you know, they're active and they're engaged, really that momentum isn't slowed. I do see a big difference. And when children aren't engaged and kind of just off schedule, I would say it's definitely harder to transition back. And children seem very tired. And the transition's much more difficult for not just the children, but, of course, the family as a whole.
Yeah, it is hard. And then when they just really don't want to go because they think they need to sleep until 10 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
That's also very challenging. So do you have any other tips for parents that want to keep their kids doing things and keep them having fun, but then also keep them being educated? Do you have special toys that you love or road trips that you suggest?
Personally, I love model building. I think which of course is a very engineering oriented, you know, toy. I myself am taking my children to DC and New York, over the break, and I have a son who's 3, a daughter who's 8. And you wouldn't think that they would really be interested in kind of that cultural immersion, but don't underestimate what your children, interests might be. And you might find that you're surprised and they develop a new interest doing those things. So whether it's something local, maybe visiting the Seminole Indian Reservation or, you know, their museum or something local like the Naples Zoo or, you know, even traveling. Don't underestimate your children's interests in cultural activities.
And there are some, like you said, right around in this area. We just talked with an archaeologist who is helping to support and has been digging into Pine Island, the area out there with the Colusa Indians. So you can take a hike and you can even take your dog on a leash, he was saying. So we'll have links to that online, of course. So I really appreciate you guys coming in and talking to us because I know it's kind of a challenge for parents when they're looking at, oh boy, 2 weeks and a 6 or 7 year old or an 8 year old, what do I do? But I mean, finding out what they're interested in and then trying to tailor activities around that is pretty nice. And the service at Boys and Girls Club, I think, is just out of this world for parents who have to get to work and they need someone to – someplace to drop them off and know that they're safe leaving them there.
Absolutely. And that is our – kind of our motto, a fun, safe, positive place for kids to go. And it definitely is all of that. And I want to emphasize, too, the fact that we do have a great teen program there that's growing. They have their own CAD lab. They have a STEM lab. We have a Votech Center, and we're working on a medical area now for them. So there's a lot of different things there, and they do a lot of field trips, have a leadership program. So I'm excited for our teen program that's kicking off. It's actually the Year of the Teen, so we're excited about that.
The Year of the Teen. Well, that sounds like fun. Well, we're going to have to leave it there today. I'd like to thank our guest today, Elizabeth Garcia, head of school at Discovery Day Academy, Pam Edlund with the Boys and Girls Club of Collier County, and Stacey Grayson with the Naples Zoo. Thank you all for talking with us today.
Thank you for having us.
And the conversation continues online at WGCUnews.org. You can find links to all the programs we discussed today on our website. We also have links to Dr. Marquardt's research and awards. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chin Kui with technical help from A.J. Leonard. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. Tomorrow, we'll dig into the garden. Unlike every other part of the United States, now is a great time to get your garden going here in Southwest Florida. We'll talk with a professional container gardener about growing fresh produce from pots, useful if you live in a condo or apartment. And if you have a plot of land you'd like to turn into a veggie patch, we talk with a local organic farmer about how to work with Florida's sandy soil and relentless pests. Plus, if you have citrus trees in your yard, you will learn when to fertilize, prune, and plan to harvest. That's going to be tomorrow on Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.